So this is an exceptionally good presentation, as I've spoke before. So in this, we're going to be looking at the school breakfast program and the national school lunch, and actually a new tool that I've developed, the SPEARS dietary assessment tool. The outline of the presentation, we're looking at objectives, background, the design, results, conclusion, and policies. So what are the learning objectives? Really what I want you to take away is, what is the impact of school breakfast program on the school lunch program, and actually discussing the validity of this new tool. So the background, as you probably know, there's 11 million children who participate in the school breakfast program, and 31 million in America that participate in the national school lunch program at a cost of 10.2 million, or billion, let's go for a little more. But significant less breakfast participants than lunch. Well, that's part because a lot of schools don't even offer school breakfast, and there's a difference in timing. Some children just arrive at school right before the bell, and what I've observed is most children like to go out and play instead of eat breakfast. So just to sum up again, why the National School Lunch Program? Well, there was a huge amount of Americans who were not able to actually engage in military active duty because of malnutrition, so it was started. Then they started a school breakfast program, and then the school breakfast program was made permanent in 75. And now, of course, there's commodities that you can do exchanges for. And what I've been looking at is Provision 2, which is the universal free payment system. If you're not familiar with that, it's one option that's now provided. There's Provision 1, 2, and 3. But 2 is the most common. So actually, the whole purpose that is instituted was of school breakfast is to have a coordinated, comprehensive child food assistance program in schools. However, it's just amazing to me that the interaction between these two have never really been evaluated, and that's where I explored. So what is the impact of having breakfast on lunch intake? Do children self-adjust? So the study design looked at elementary schools in the Washoe County School District in Nevada. We did a kindergarten through fifth grade, one class for each of those grades. They were serving school breakfast program. This was a very unique opportunity because they were just moving from the cafeteria to the classroom, and they were starting Provision 2, universal free. So the study design, we had three different data collection. Baseline, when they were serving breakfast in the cafeteria, perfect baseline. Second period is when they moved universal free into the classroom, and that's where I evaluate the accuracy of my tool. And then the period 3-2, it remained in the classroom, so it was actually the reliability of the tool. Study design, we collected actually 9 days of food intake at each period, so a total of 27 days. And during that, we also had a daily questionnaire asking them to rank their hunger scale before they started breakfast, and to tell us what they took, what they ate before they came to school, if anything, and how much they ate before they came to school. And then we did in period 1 and 2 a randomized selection for observation to validate the tool. I'll just move on. So the SPEARS dietary assessment tool, which is initially funded by USDA, what it does is it's an accurate looking at traditional observation, and we were looking at reproducibility of the tool and the implementation costs. So what does it do? It actually addresses different challenges such as child recall. Well, even adults have a problem with this. Child may lack an understanding of food composition and their cognitive skills. Remember, we went down to kindergartner. So looking at their cognitive skills, it would eliminate that. And it has very minimal demands on the student. It's designed just like a grocery checkout stand. So the children come with their tray, and we actually scan and weigh each food item, and it produces a list of foods that they consumed with exact grams. And then they put their tray up and we re-weigh. So it's a weighed system. So a plate weighed with weighed system. So now we have the grams of intake that was for every child at every meal for every food. And we can calculate the nutrients specifically at the individual level. So the characteristics of our sample, there was a little higher amount in kindergartners because there is larger classes in our kindergartners. Oh, maybe you want to know. There was, this is a transient area, high percentage of Hispanics. So we had a dropout rate, about 28 who moved, and unfortunately, so we couldn't follow them through the whole study. So here's the some of the output, the results that I'd like to share. So if you had breakfast, lunch was significantly decreased, the intake, if you consume breakfast. And we looked at macronutrients and also decided to just look at calcium, vitamin C, and iron, although we could have looked at any nutrient. And we adjusted for different confounding factors. The results at the time, now this is different than I would have ever expected, that the longer the time between breakfast and lunch, they actually ate less at lunch, and I don't know why, you know. You would think they'd be hungrier. So also the impact for breakfast eaters, they actually reduced the amount of calories they had at lunch, but there was no change in protein, fat, and iron, but there was an increase in carbohydrate, calcium, and vitamin C. Those who were meal skippers, we found a lot of girls in fifth grade already skipping breakfast as a weight loss mechanism. And that's actually been documented that those who do this, generally in the 24 hour, still consume about the same amount of calories. And we also found the same thing, that there was no significant difference in lunch intake if you skipped, move from a non-breakfast eater to a breakfast eater. So it's not a good way to lose weight. Now looking at the Spears point of sale, Spears dietary assessment tool, compared to observation, it actually looks like there's a slight higher, it indicates a slight higher in indice of calorie intake as you increase. With calorie intake, you have a proportional increase with higher in observation. But it may be the observation tool. That's what we're anticipating, because weighed plate waste is really the gold standard. So looking at, we had a fair to good correlation. In almost every aspect, the Spears weighed was actually had a less standard difference than observation. Conclusions. So school breakfast does impact our school lunch program intake. It's complex. The greater nutrients intake at school breakfast was different when you served in the cafeteria and then you moved to the classroom. I don't remember if I presented that. Huge difference, because of course they don't go out to play after the bell is when they're served breakfast. School participants of breakfast significantly decreased their total nutrient intake. However, when we observed the calorie intake at breakfast, there was somewhat of an increase in some calories, but also decrease at some. Okay, school breakfast participants increased their lunch intake of vitamin C, carbohydrates, and calcium. And the longer the time lapse between breakfast and lunch, there was actually a reduction in energy intake. The other conclusion is the Spears dietary assessment tool was a valid, non-invasive method for school breakfast program and the National School Lunch Program in children. We use it for program evaluation. So I've used it in different programs that we're impacting at the elementary school. Use it when we introduce new meal items, transitioning from breakfast into the classroom, and actually we haven't, but some regulations in school nutrition programs. Policy implications. It can support research in the validation of maybe some nutrition programs. And now we can maybe monitor changes much more effectively. This tool is vastly better in the sense that you can look at individuals. So individuals change instead of a group change. And maybe this would also help in our surveillance system. Oh. Thank you for your time. Okay, sure. Exactly.
And how about, did they bring a snack and have a snack between breakfast and lunch? And that might explain why the students who are having a later lunch period maybe consume less at lunch?
Well, actually, we did have a survey that they filled out every morning of what they, did they, cross off, did they have something before they came to school? What did you have? And it was a picture, and then how much. So we even had, so we had a variety of different ways. And we helped the kindergartners, their third grade, through that process. And then fourth, fifth, we were able to have them do it, and I just monitored. So the other part of the question? Oh. They actually don't bring a snack to that school, so they don't, they're not, they don't carry any. That's not something that they do at that school. Question.
Did you ask about recess, if they had recess before or afterwards?
It's mandatory to have recess before. Okay. So it wasn't asked. It is mandatory. Question.
Any thoughts on why the cafeteria served breakfast versus the classroom served breakfast yielded lower intake at lunch?
What it is we anticipate, because they were eating breakfast more consistently, that they may self-adjust slightly. But remember, there wasn't a huge difference in when they ate breakfast to changing their lunch intake at that. So if you became a participant, a non-breakfast eater to a breakfast eater, you really didn't change. But huge dramatic change when you serve it in the classroom, let me tell you. Oh, I apologize. Somebody else?
I thought I saw a hand in the back. No, more great interest.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.